Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck is broadcasting live, or podcasting live, I guess, from the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle World Headquarters. If you want to weigh in today, feel free to unmute yourself, raise your hand, or just sort of start talking. Or if you want to call 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Chuck, I was kind of going through the internet and various Eventbrite, Antifa sites, et cetera. And we have a couple of opportunities if we want a riot in Denver coming up here this week, tomorrow at the state capitol. Tomorrow at the state capitol. It's an ice out day, so we can go riot there if we want. And then on June 14th, another opportunity to riot. I'm not sure. This is people protesting Flag Day or Trump's Flag Day. And it's all over the place. They even have a riot that's going to be going on at 104th and Sheridan, which is right down the street from us. So we can
104th
certainly.
104th and Sheridan, really?
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully
that's
it won't interfere.
That I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah, hopefully it won't interfere with a Starbucks run. I'm not
really.
Sure.
I mean, who's holding that one?
It's a bunch of those wacky groups. Sort of the whole. They have an Eventbrite site. They're for democracy. People, you know, for rioting for democracy.
What's it at 104th and Sheridan that you could disrupt and make everybody unhappy with?
Well, what they said is it's mostly flat. So, I mean, they're all over the place in Colorado. In the Denver metropolitan area. I don't know why they picked 104th and Sheridan. I'm not sure.
It's such an obscure, obscure. It's obscure.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind There's of,
nothing
I guess.
There.
I don't know what the point is, but they're going to be rioting there. Well, maybe not rioting. They're going to be peacefully protesting. So, you know, the situation, and here's, I wanted to talk about this today. The LA riots, right? The mostly peaceful protests with the stuff burning, and Trump. You know, the times, as Bob Dylan, Chuck, your favorite, says, they are changing. This is no longer the day when you can riot, throw stuff at police, assault police officers, ICE agents, federal officers, and you're the hero, and the officers, if they do anything, you know, end up getting charged and sent to prison. Trump has said, no, I've got the Marines standing by, the National Guard are going to go in. We're not going to let you destroy L.A. Bizarrely, the mayor of L.A., who was happy to let it burn, by the way, so this is nothing really for her.
There's no there in LA.
And Gavin Newsom is like, he's filed a lawsuit against Donald Trump for wanting to stop the riots. Yeah. I want to sort of like, I don't know, call us crazy, but throw some facts into the whole thing. So this started out not as an, you know, they're trying to portray it as ICE was raiding kindergartens or something like that. And plucking any child who looked vaguely Hispanic and then sending him on a plane to El Salvador. That's not what happened at all. They were doing a raid. It was a criminal investigation, a money laundering drug cartel raid. And in so doing, they were, you know, arresting the illegal immigrants who were running it. They've got child sexual predators. They've got, drug dealers. They got all kinds of criminals they captured. But as you do in LA, they started rioting. But the thing to remember is these are not spontaneous, organic riots. These are not people.
Not your traditional. They're astroturfing these riots, huh?
Right. Well, and Trump, as we know, I mean, they do that now. I mean, for a while, the Democrats tried to fool people and say, oh, this was spontaneous uprising by Americans concerned about democracy. But now you see it like, you know, you can go on the internet. And like I said, they have an Eventbrite thing where you could sign up. They pay people. And that's what Trump said. The people who are organizing this and setting it up and largely showing up, you know, there was a time, I guess, when people traveled, the illegal immigrants traveled and they worked in the fields. Now they just travel and they go to riots. And maybe the money's better going to a riot, I guess. But even Trump acknowledged that too. When that, they were saying, "Well, what are you going to do? Gavin Newsom says he's going to sue you, and he's not going to do anything." And Trump is like, "Well, then we'll arrest him if we have to." And Thomas, and he addressed who these rioters are. And Thomas, if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
Are they people ISIS trying to deport, or are they professional agitators?
The people that are causing the problem are professional agitators, they're insurrectionists, they're bad people, they should be in jail. Thank you.
I mean, that's just there, right? It's like these are not. And do you think anybody's really fooled anymore, Chuck? That do you think anybody out there really thinks that these were just these are people in L.A. so upset, moms from Highland, uphill or up Highland Hills or whatever it is, are suddenly going out there and protesting? They're so concerned about democracy.
Well, I think that way. I mean, I always thought there's certainly that. I don't know. I'm never sure what the people in the George Floyd riots were doing. I mean, it's hard in LA, it's hard to find any stores to riot. I guess, what are they doing riots anymore? You kind of go, what can you do? I mean, torch cars, that's the traditional activity. It's kind of like mud pipe throwing or something. Torch cars, go up on freeways, drop rocks on cars. That's another traditional activity and so forth. But there's not a lot of businesses in LA that you can, there's
anymore. There used to be, but because of the previous riots, they've all gone. Sort of with downtown Denver, it's kind of hard to riot along the 16th Street Mall. First of all, you got to work around the construction, just like anybody who works there. But secondly, because of all the riots and the crime and the homeless and the drugs, no one's down there anymore. So no one, I mean, what if you held a riot and no one,
no one came,
no one heard or anything like that? Well, I did. Somebody on, X did a great thread sort of, following the money, because as always, we're finding out now that it's our tax dollars that are paying for the riots. We're paying to defend against the riots. We're paying for the riots. Almost all of the people there and the advertisements are coming from NGOs. The big one in this one is something called the Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights, I guess, as opposed to inhumane immigration rights. It's an NGO, and the people in there, they're also carrying signs printed up by another NGO, the Party for Socialism. That's a communist organization. This Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights got $34 million, I guess, last year in government grants, mostly from California. Fortunately, only 450,000. So, then you've got the SEIU, the federal, government workers union.
Service Employees International.
Another something called the Million Voters Project. That I find ironic because it's a million illegal immigrant voters, right? That's a, you get a million of those. So that at least has a true name. And apparently a lot of the money is also coming from something through Act Blue, which is that Democrat fraudulent, corrupt fundraising organization.
No, send your money through that.
One of the guys who's funding at all. This is kind of fun. His name is Neville Singham. He's a China-linked tech billionaire, married to the lady who founded Code Pink, by the way, and they live in Shanghai. So,
they're not pulling any of that stuff in Shanghai.
No, I don't think the Chinese government lets you work there. So it kind of, I mean, a lot of ties there, but it is interesting and goes back to how important it is for Trump and the Doge to cut the NGOs, right? Because it's sort of like, it's a money laundering thing. And we're paying both for the riots and to defend the riots.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's at least the economy is improving. You get the riots that have some disposable income. The cops are getting overtime, so you got that.
Wow.
Everybody's kind of dipping in. It's not the George Floyd riots, at least people could get stirred up that, they'd watch George Floyd's face as he slowly died. But here it's just kind of, what kind of vague thing that illegal immigrants are being picked up. It's hard to really.
It's hard to get your head on. Well, yeah. I mean, in particular, and the Trump administration is doing a good job. It's like, okay, here are the rap sheets of the people that we arrested. It's like, why are we rioting to, you know what I mean, in support of them? And then you see, which I think is ironic, and again, I don't think that these are actual illegal immigrants. Remember when they had the whole protest about the Tren de Aragua stuff going on in Aurora? And when you looked, and it was all like blonde, white girls from,
Blonde white girls are everywhere, and they're good
Exactly.
actors,
If
which
there were no actual illegal immigrants anywhere to be found, my guess is these are not illegal immigrants
is kind of like
also.
Greta Thunberg
Yeah.
wannabes.
Right. And so, but they're waving flags of the countries that they don't want to be deported back to. So it's kind of like,
Right.
well, wait, if you like this so much, you're waving the flag, why don't you just go back? And then
Yeah,
all of
you
this would
wave the
be.
French flag or something. I won't go to Paris, but maybe
But,
not.
and weigh in, guys, listening on Zoom or if you want to call in. I don't think it's going to work this time. The last time, like keep even people in our neighborhood, all of a sudden you saw all the Black Lives Matter flags being put up or,
Right.
signs being put up. I don't think it's what, illegal child predator rights matter or
They're
something
just
like
your
that?
newcomer neighbors. They're making a good living. They're selling avocados to you or
With
something.
fentanyl. Well, I don't think it's going to work though. I mean, the last time they were able, the Democrats were able to generate, I think, a certain amount of concern. You had politicians who were scared about speaking up. But I think anymore, I keep saying the nation has been red-pilled, right? People have seen what happened. People have seen these are not, they're not rounding up again, a bunch of kindergartners or anything like that. They're rounding up criminals. And the rioting and things like that, I think people the downtowns have been destroyed, and people look at that and no one says, well, that's okay, we should let the rioters go. I just don't think as a strategy, again, and these Democrat organizations, they're funding one June 10th, they're funding one June 14th. I gotta think if I'm the
Well,
Democrat.
also, although you have to be careful here because you don't want to, just do it by identity groups and so forth. But nobody disputes that African Americans tend to run faster in the 100. That's a general thing, and whites have better swimmers, get more fat cells or something. But African Americans compared to Hispanics, African Americans are far better rioters. Far better rioters than Hispanics. Hispanics have not shown any great capability to riot. And that's sort of the problem they have here. It's an
Well,
all
that's why they have to pay
Hispanic
people.
riot. It's
Right. I
like
mean, that's
having
why
an
they have to
all
pay.
Hispanic NBA team. Yeah, you can have one, but it is as good as traditional NBA
Well,
team.
that's, it is kind of like when the Democrats say they don't leave ballot harvesting up to volunteers. They pay people and sign them to do this.
Yeah.
Rioting is the same way. Rioting is too important to their agenda and to their platform to leave it up to simply spontaneous mothers worrying about rioting. So the rioting anymore is it's paid insurrectionists, right? I mean, that's their job is to travel around the country and riot. And that you see them pulling in buses and things like that. But I just think, I don't know if the Democrat, well, clearly they weren't paying attention in the last election. If they think that this is going to be the kind of thing that's going to make Americans say, hey, I want to vote for more of this.
And what if they burnt LA down? I mean, you already had the Chinook winds or
And the
whatever
fires.
burned the Palisades and so forth, but now they're more downtown. But if they lit up all of downtown LA, would anybody care? I mean, all the employees, government employees are doing, work at home. And so I don't know if burning downtown LA would get you anywhere.
Here's a joke from Leo. Okay, this is totally don't. We're going to get canceled for this, Leo. Joke from the 80s. Why doesn't Mexico have a good Olympic swim team? All the good ones made it over the Rio Grande. Don't ban us. Don't ban us. However, Leo said that, not me. I was just quoting Leo. Well, I just think though it's, and I gotta wonder again. The Democrat Party, which is good for the Republican Party, have this whole faction that has been captured and is being held hostage by the people who are paying for the riots. Even though all of the polls show, the election showed, people overwhelmingly do not want criminal, illegal aliens prowling our streets and preying on our neighborhoods, right? That overwhelmingly, people don't have a problem with ICE deporting child rapist, illegal aliens, right? They don't have a problem with them deporting the Trendy-Aragua people. They don't have a problem with them deporting the father from Maryland. And so why the Democrats are doubling down not only on supporting them, but going back to the riot thing. I mean, maybe they're hoping that the National Guard opens fire or something like that. But I think, because that's always what they push for, I think even then, number one, the National Guard's probably pretty disciplined. And even then, there are people who are being like, Well, you shouldn't have been rioting then. If you're throwing a rock and you're, you know, assaulting police officers, you should be arrested for that. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, what if they held a riot and nobody cared? I mean, that's the problem they've got.
Right.
You know, when it comes on the screen as you're going through doing your news check, riots in L.A. Well, yeah, but the Rockies win one finally. I mean, it's hard to get yourself excited about rioting in L.A. I mean, you sort of assume that's all they ever do anyway. I mean,
But I mean, I'm talking about what do you think? Why are the Democrats pursuing that, which is clearly not a very popular policy, both supporting criminal illegal aliens and supporting riots?
Well, because they'd rather do that than, endless, boys and girls sports. You know, they're not doing well on that. I'm not sure. What else do they stand for? What do Democrats stand for? I forgot. Well, Gaza,
Democracy. Yeah.
So they don't have a large palate these days, and so, you might as well go with what you got. I mean, you got 20 million, 15 million, whatever numbers, illegal aliens, and they're going to be on your side, and that's good. And you gotta pitch to what you got. I mean, you can't, they can't say, this doesn't work. I mean, they're kind of stuck. I mean, I don't know what else they do.
Well, yeah. Oh, I think it's not going to work, and I think it'll backfire. And you got to wonder the NGOs funding it. Again, I'm guessing this is not coming from sort of the establishment wing of the Democrat Party. Now, people like Kamala Harris have to jump up and say, "Oh, it's all Donald Trump's fault." But I think that this is a very, I mean, like this guy from China, right? Who's got China links. I think a big part of this, as we've talked about before, is also partly aimed at creating chaos, disarray in the United States. And I think they're hoping that, well, I know they're hoping that something bad happens and then there are more riots and things like that. I mean, they don't, I think they know it's not a winning thing. So I think it all gets down to, sort of wanting to hurt the country.
Well, the George Floyd riots were an enormous success. I mean, they caused virtually every corporation in America to turn billions over to Black Lives Matters. They got all the companies to do DEI. And the George Floyd riots were an enormous success. And so they kind of, well, that was successful. Maybe we can, see if we can do it again. But it doesn't seem to have the effect as the George Floyd ones.
No, I don't think it's, and this is, hey, Johnny, is that you? Go ahead. You want to weigh in?
I just want to, Chuck, you got some good singers today. I just want to give you but Chuck and Julie, you want to talk? Oh, okay. All right. My wife wanted to chime in. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, like, okay, since we have this media, TV, we've seen this and done this before. And I'm wondering, how many times can you fool someone before they say, I'm tired of being fooled?
Right.
And I think, I've been seeing these videos about the black people saying they're opting out. They're saying, this is not our battle. You guys can go for it and enjoy. We're just going to get our popcorn and just and sit home and watch it.
Well, that's what I think too. I mean, that's kind of my point, Johnny, is I think people were kind of, some people were sort of fooled with the George Floyd thing, but I think everything we've seen since then, I think you're right. That's what I think. People are kind of like, okay, we'll watch this, but yeah, we're not joining it. And that's what I'm wondering. Why are they doing it? What do they think they get out of this?
Well, I think they have to up their game. I think they have to go for entire buildings. I mean, having a few cars, it's like a fireworks. If you got to make them better, and cars ain't gonna do. Cars are okay, but they're gonna have to up their game and start make blocks. Can they burn down a block? I think we'd all pay attention to that. I would anyway.
Now we just opened up a bunch of new businesses downtown. The 16th Street looks fantastic. I wonder if Johnson would say anything if they went down there and said, let's just wreck this place up.
He wouldn't. He would say, I mean, remember, Denver hearts immigrants, Johnny. It's like, he wouldn't. He's just spent, yeah, what, $275 million to rebrand the 16th Street Mall. And tomorrow they're going to riot at the Capitol. And I mean, I'm sure part of that's going to be to go down the 16th Street Mall, because that's sort of their playbook. And I don't know. Yeah, that'll put Johnson in a bad place. He doesn't have any more money to fix it. So we'll have to see what happens there.
All right. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you. And then this is from Leo. Why is Homan emptying out sanctuary cities first? Why not cut funding to those cities, then use resources to get illegals out of normal places? I think cutting the funding takes time. And I think partly you have to go where the criminals are. Like I said, this started not as a rounding up illegal immigrants raid. It started as a raid on a money laundering drug operation. We've seen, then obviously ICE is involved, and we've seen somebody in ICE is leaking information, and then various people are doxing and getting the information out. So I think that's how this all played out. Don't you think, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm sure. Said, look, this is just a good reason. Hey, let's get everybody. Is everybody right. ready to go? You know, all the kids right. in the neighborhood, is everybody getting paid? Let's go down and start. They apparently enjoy torching Waymos, which are
the dry, yeah, the
I really
cars.
I didn't really know that was such a deal. I had to look up what a Waymo was. But they'd like to torch them, and you know, there's nobody inside them, so mm-hmm. it's less exciting than you might think. But torch them and some others.
That's going to do a whole new thing to the AI driving, right? Because those cars are driven by AI and algorithms, and they're going to have to start programming something in now if some rioter is trying to torch you. Right now, if you're the car, you don't know what to do, right?
What are they doing?
You aren't anticipating that. They're going to have to throw that in the algorithm, too. How does the car recognize a rioter, an illegal immigrant rioter about to torch
torching
it?
And it, yeah.
You put in reverse, where do you go? Well, the other thing that's kind of funny is, again, watching the media try to blame this all on Donald Trump, and that's not working very much either. And because no one listens to them, but Terry Moran, who was an ABC, longtime ABC reporter, and White House correspondent, got suspended yesterday.
Didn't you have a little soundbite on?
I could no. So Chris Cizilla, you could listen to, but I had
No. I mean the one about the.
Okay. Well, I was kind of working my way to that. You're right. We'll go to that first. The media is like they're trying to downplay the whole thing, and it's all Trump's fault. But this LA anchor, name is Mark Brown, he took things to this unbelievable level. Listen to this soundbite and pay attention. Listen close to what he's saying. Thomas, if we could please play the LA anchor soundbite.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
So this is
American watching cars burn. You know, you do that in your neighborhood. Come on. Everybody likes to torch up a automobile every once in a while, and everybody get you know, they get the marshmallows, they get everything. I mean,
it's just what
and then,
a
and then to have people, you know, the National Guard, you know, somehow try to prevent that, or you know, that's just
to have it. It's like, well, they should just let it burn. And you're right, they should just let it burn. I mean, if I'm Trump, I'm just like, just let LA burn. But it's like this anchor, what on earth? And this is a guy in LA, right? This guy has made his way up through the ranks. If you're an anchor in LA, you know, you didn't just come like out of, you know, some kind of liberal progressive college yesterday, right? You've been around for a while, and you know, you don't misspeak really if you're an anchor in LA, right? That's one of the top markets in the country. And so he says, a bunch of people just having fun watching cars burn. It's like,
of course.
It's like, what an idiotic, but it says something about the mindset, right?
But you find yourself going, yeah, well, stop, you know, just having fun watching cars burn.
That's what Leo says. Hey, we were just here with burgers and beer, peacefully having fun watching our neighbors beat their wives. What TF? It's like, well, exactly. It's like having fun watching cars burn. No one out there was like, hey, this looks like fun. Let's go down and set some cars on fire. And like somehow that's okay, even. Like somehow that's an appropriate way to be having fun. right? It's like certain things are okay to have fun. Certain things are not okay to have fun. Like Leo says, watching your neighbor beat their wife, not an okay way to have fun.
Used to be. At one time, that was considered okay, but
it's like
no
what
longer.
But that says something about the media mindset, and it says a lot about why no one pays any attention anymore. And you're right, then that sort of segues into the Terry Moran. So Terry Moran, who's the White House correspondent, it's not like he's like the, you know, I don't know, barbecue correspondent.
Senior.
Yes, senior. So he put out something, and I got to suspect alcohol was involved. Like at 12:06 Sunday morning, so late after a night apparently of, well, my guess is a lot of drinking
being
on Saturday.
At Diddy parties, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really. He was at a freak out. He put out a tweet on X. I don't even know, do you call them tweets anymore, about Stephen Miller, Trump's deputy chief of staff for policy, saying that, okay, Trump is full of, he's saying, I'm paraphrasing, well, not really, I'm kind of, Trump is full of hatred, but he's full of hatred for self-aggrandization, to, you know, make himself bigger. Stephen Miller is just full of hate. He's full of bile. He eats his hate. Everything about him is hate, 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 hate. I mean, it was just this personal attack, and he deleted it, but then boom, I mean, conservative media, Carolyn Levin, but the press secretary is like, I'm sorry, this is your White House correspondent is
well,
tweeting
he just
this
had
kind
a big interview with Trump, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And Trump said, you know, I've never heard of you before, but now he has.
Well, but it's sort of like what there was a, you know, I mean, immediately Megyn Kelly, other people were saying, hey, you know, in any kind of real world, this guy would get fired or suspended. You cannot
oh, you
be.
Can't fire him.
So they suspended him. Keep in mind, the same ABC who just settled a multi-million-dollar lawsuit with Trump after George Stephanopoulos said he raped somebody. Right. So they had to settle for that. You've got The View pretty regularly having to make apologies and corrections on air so they don't get sued. And now you've got Stephen or Terry Moran slibling and slandering and just posting him his own hateful messages about the president and the president's chief of staff, who he covers on a daily basis. And that's when Carolyn Levitt was saying, she's like, you know, here's the thing. She goes, this is how they think. She's like, this is what Trump is up against in the corporate media. This is why, you know, we like, oh, AP can't come to the press, you know, can't be one of the pool reporters anymore. This is why, because they actually think this, and that somehow they think it's okay to be publicly spewing that. I mean, you know, we both, I was a TV reporter, remember, and I got in trouble one time for, was on the radio show when we were at KNUS, and I said, this is when Barack Obama was president, and I said, Barack Obama doesn't like Americans, right, or doesn't like America. And I got called in, and I'm like, you can't say that anymore. And I said, you know what, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. I'm a reporter here, right? For Terry Moran to think that somehow that was appropriate, it's kind of like the other anchor saying, they're just having fun watching cars burn.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I didn't know who Terry Moran was. I mean, I sort of recognized him. The name was very vaguely familiar, but not much. And then he did the Trump interview, and then I did know him because Trump kind of stomped on him, but I knew who he was. And then, you know, he took his 30 seconds of increased fame and decided to kind of do a Saturday night special.
But you have to look at that and say, so how fair do you think? So this is what this guy thinks about Trump. And he's not even, you know, he's not just saying it to his best friend over drinks at a bar. He's putting it out there in public, letting everyone know, this is what I think. He thinks it's okay to think that. I mean, how?
And
there's
cover
no way.
The White House.
And he covered, there's no way he can fairly
cover
the
White
House. It's
not like he was covering New York City beat or you know, the foreigner. You know, he's covering the White House and he's telling you what he, you know.
What he thinks. Well, and again, there was a day and age where a reporter would never even dream of doing that, right? And some of these people, they've lost their minds. It's kind of like the Democrats with the riots. They think that everyone is consumed with hate for Trump, and therefore there are no rules. As long as it's hatred, and as long as it's anti-Trump, and as long as it's destroying America, you can do whatever you want, and there are no consequences. And I think they're kind of finding out too. I mean, it didn't take ABC long at all to fire him or to suspend him. And my guess is he's going to get fired. Here's the other thing too. He's like in his 60s, probably getting well paid. ABC's probably been looking for a reason to get rid of him anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
As always in the TV business, younger, cheaper, hotter is better.
Right.
So
yeah.
Again, it's just astonishing to me. And actually, it's kind of equally surprising that ABC actually dealt with it.
Well, yeah. That was great of ABC.
Well, but I mean, I think things have shifted. I think there was a time when they wouldn't have, you know, where they would have just said, oh, you know, but again, to try to say, oh, I can, in an unbiased way, sometimes as a reporter, you could say, I can put my opinion aside and I can cover this, right? But when you're putting that out there publicly, making it clear so everyone knows this is how you feel, you cannot then turn around and expect people to think, okay, you're going to give a, you know, an unbiased interview or an unbiased accounting of what Stephen Miller is doing, don't you think? I mean, you run a newspaper, right? You wouldn't tolerate that, would you?
Never. He'd have been out of here. He'd been gone.
All right. Anything else on that, or?
No, just Jesse, you really have to wonder. And the thing was, Chuck Todd and Chris Carrizza did these tweets, I guess you want to call them, saying, how dare they blame all of us unbiased umpires? You know, hilariously. I mean, I call balls and strikes, except you call them all balls. I mean, for them to come out and say, how dare people attack all of us wonderful journalists just because Terry Moran sent that out, is comical. I mean, it's comical.
Well, and that's why no one is watching, really, yeah, you know, so, well, and then sort of turning another kind of bias. So the Mike Lindell trial is going on today. Mike Lindell is taking the stand. If you want to try to follow it, the best way I say to do that is Ash Epp. Follow Ash in America on X. She does a good job kind of during breaks, breaking down what she can do. Last week there was a lot of testimony about issues with election machines and things like that, right? You didn't see a word about any of that from any of the media except Ash, right? And some of the conservative media. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of people there with Mike Lindell. But, you know, the thing is the reason there hasn't been a lot of coverage of it is I think the corporate media and even here in the Denver Post, I'm going to even say even Complete Colorado, their whole thing is Mike Lindell's an election denier, therefore he's bad, 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 bad. That's all you need to know about Mike Lindell. They don't want to have to actually report like facts about things, right? They don't want to actually report, well, what actually happened with this? Why? How did this whole thing come up? What's the whole background? They just want to say Mike Lindell, election denier, Tina Peters, election denier, January 6th, insurrection, laptop, you know, Russian disinformation. They just want to say that, like, you know, without having to give any kind of context. And they're not going to, which again is why no one pays attention. I mean, what do you make of all that?
Well, I've been following the trial and we talked about, you know, libel. We have to worry about that because we have a newspaper and therefore we get threatened to be sued quite a bit of times by people. And you know, the standard test is for public figures, it's not private, is that the you knew what you printed was false, so you had reckless disregard for the truth, whether it was true or not. Now, under that standard, it's interesting. I mean, he obviously did not knowingly know it was false. He did not right. know it was false. Whether relying on what's his name to tell you, I believed what he told me about Eric Coomer. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's what's hard not being in the courtroom. I think, so what you're talking about is, so Joe Altman on his on his podcast started talking about Eric Coomer and that he was kind of he was not that he spied on the phone call, but they didn't know he was there. He was sort of like the signal group, right? He got admitted.
Keep a phone call, right?
Right. And there was somebody on there named Eric who was saying all this stuff. And Joe Altman said he determined it was Eric Coomer. Now,
initially, then he went on Google and said, okay, who's Eric from?
And initially, and well, and I think there was other stuff that made him think that initially, and from what Ash is reporting, that the people suing Eric Coomer's lawyers were saying that Altman just made the phone call up, that there was no phone call. But Ash said there was evidence presented last week in court that there was indeed a phone call. Right now, the question is, and that's going to be something for the jury to decide. Who do they believe? Was there a phone call? Wasn't there a phone call? And that Mike Lindell said after all of this stuff started being reported, that's when he started talking about it. And he was saying, I didn't know Eric Coomer. I had, you know, nothing against Eric Coomer. I was just, you know, and as you said, I think so some of it is, was it reckless for him to listen to Joe Altman? I would argue it was not. That was getting a lot of play at the time. And I mean, Joe Altman, now I remember everybody suing everybody. And I go back to the question, who's paying for Eric Coomer to have all of these lawsuits when all is said and done? So I don't know. It's really hard not being in the courtroom to get a sense of how it's going. I will say this, that Ash said in her ex account that the jurors seemed to be paying a lot of attention to Joe Altman and what he was saying. So we'll see. The judge is limiting bad information about Eric Coomer, so they don't get to do that. But anyway, that's the latest on that. And like I said, I kind of feel bad that we can't keep you more updated, but as federal courts go, I know there's been a lot of talk about their censoring things and stuff, but I have to say, in my experience, you usually can't do live tweeting and things like that from federal court. Federal judges, you know this, Chuck, they're sort of the law unto themselves, right?
Yes, that's how they view themselves. And so it's, no, you know, this is normal procedure, so they're not hiding everything, but, and it's almost impossible to get a feeling from a report, even as somebody as good as Ash Epp, you know, giving you a 1 minute of a, you know, 4 hour testimony. And of course it reflects her own views on right. the matter. So it's, and even if it didn't, it's, how is it striking those jurors? And that you don't know.
Right. Right.
That you don't know.
So we'll see on that, but keep you posted. The other thing, and we're going to have Hope on our show on Wednesday, but I think this is great news. Hope Schoppelman announced today that she is going to be running for Congress in CD3 against Rhino Americans for Prosperity funded Jeff Hurd. So Lauren Boebert left CD3 to go to CD4. Jeff Hurd announced for CD3, was elected. The Democrats spent a ton of money there. And Jeff Hurd, he's been true to his Americans for Prosperity, donors, wouldn't you say, Chuck? I mean, he's come out against a lot of things that Trump is for. And even some of the other, I know Gabe Evans had a lot of AFP money, as did Jeff Crank, but they at least are publicly backing Trump. Jeff Hurd has on several occasions publicly gone against Trump.
Right.
And I think she's saying, you know, MAGA and grassroots, she's going to be the MAGA grassroots candidate. Money is going to be a thing. I don't know that. Well, Americans for Prosperity, they're going to want to keep him in, or what do you see? You should sort of break that down for us. You're the election guy.
Well, I'm not sure of the two of us, but it's an uphill drive when they'll probably, you know, if she can raise six figures, you know, she'll be pretty happy. They'll raise millions. Now, if they go through the assembly and all that, I don't know who will win there. But I think it's good that somebody's running against Hurd, because Hurd's been particularly bad, as you noted. That at least Boebert and the others have said they're for Trump, but Hurd's really trying to be the liberal congressman, the one that's, you know, more reasonable.
The maverick.
The maverick congressman. So I don't know. I think it's great that he has an opponent, though, so he has to worry at least a little bit about what people on the, what the Republicans and the masses of unaffiliated think.
Well, and here this kind of ties into something we've talked about a lot, and that is a whole open primary. This is one of the reasons that the rhinos in the establishment want to have open primaries in Colorado and why people like Barb Kirkmeyer push to get rid of the caucus and assembly system, because Jeff Herd now has to at least worry a little bit about hope. If they can get rid of the caucus and assembly system, she's not going to have near, and it's an open primary, then it's just whoever has the most money competes, right, and wins, right? And this is why we need to keep the caucus and assembly system, because the only way for Hope to make it on the ballot, she's not going to have the kind of money that Herd has, right? No. Americans for Prosperity is not going to fund Hope Shuppelman, because she stands for all of the right things, right? Because she's true MAGA.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and so they're not going to fund her, so she would not make it onto the ballot except through a caucus and assembly system. And even that's going to be a fight, because Herd's a sitting congressman. But I think she's a great candidate. I think Hope, and we'll have her on Wednesday, but she fought, she was the vice chair with Dave Williams, and, you know, that's to say she has not had an easy time of it, but I think she has stood firm from the very beginning for kind of the mega standards, mega philosophies. And hopefully, I think her running is going to make Jeff Herd maybe take a stance, right? It's going to be hard to have Jeff Herd explain, well, why, why did you oppose Trump on this? Or why are you doing that? What do you think?
Yeah, it is going to. It'll worry him. It'll concern him. And it'll maybe shut him up a little bit. I do have some breaking news for you, Julie.
Okay. All right.
Dave Williams has accepted a position with the Trump administration. He's senior advisor to the Secretary of International Trade. So.
Wow. Yeah. Hooray for that.
Yeah, hooray. Hooray for him.
Yay for hooray Dave. For okay, so say that again. Dave Williams, breaking news. So Dave Williams, I was hoping that Lauren Boebert wasn't going to interfere with any of that too much. So what's his position going to be?
It's senior advisor to the Secretary of International Trade.
That's pretty cool. Do you know anything else? Or that's just it? That's just the breaking news there?
What else do you want?
Well, I don't know. What does that do? I don't know. I mean,
what does it do? It gets him a job in the Trump administration. And he'll get a good, you know. And
well, you
one
know,
thing you have to understand is once you make it in, you know, you're in. So all of a sudden, you know, an undersecretary job, which is above senior advisor, comes available. Then you get that, or ambassador. Being in the system allows you to help the Trump administration, but also get you in Washington. And there's a lot of turnover for all these things.
Right.
And so it really means, you know, you're in the game and you're hired and you're getting a good federal salary. But living in Washington, D.C. area is incredibly expensive.
But Leo says Dave on the government dole sounds like a Democrat. No, we need people like Dave in there, particularly the international trade thing, right?
Yeah,
with the tariffs and
things. Yeah.
And things like that.
Background. Remember his,
right.
He was attacked for the fact that his in-laws had business with China that would be affected by tariffs and all that. So he has some real background in it. So that's great.
And Jim Jackson says what they do is they recommend tariffs and then they enforce it. Well, and I'm glad to, because I think we know the establishment people and Lauren Boebert feuding with Dave were doing everything they could to not just tank Dave's MAGA grassroots Republican administration. They, and anything Dave did, like from bringing Steve Bannon in, which you think would be a good thing, right? They tried to attack. And Dave, on the other hand, did things like he stood up for Republican and MAGA principles. He fought to keep Trump on the ballot, right? And he succeeded in that. I mean, Dave came out, unlike the current administration with their policies, we have no policy on everything. I'm thrilled to hear that. I think, and everybody should be too. I think if anybody deserved a position, Dave did.
Yeah, he really did. So he landed on his feet and did a great job as chairman, although he took a lot of flack. I promise you, anybody is going to take a lot of flack. The other, in the not newsflash one, is one you told me that the Independence Institute is restarting its center-right coalition, but no longer at the Independence Institute, which is very strange. They won't give them space.
I don't know if they even have the independence. It's going to be at the Colorado Christian University. Here, let me back up. Charlene just came in. Missed it. Does Dave have a job? Yes, Dave Williams got a job with the Trump administration. Chuck, one more time, drum roll.
He's senior advisor to the Secretary for international trade.
That sounds cool. That's the cool enough business card as opposed to juvenile or junior advisor. And then from Jim Jackson, Trump likes Bannon, but I think Steve just interrupted one too many times. I agree with that too. Hey, and just kind of sort of wrapping things. Yeah, Charlene says, wow, sounds great. Yes, Dave deserves that. And I'm thrilled for him and thrilled for us because Dave will do a good job in that position. As I predicted on Friday, the whole Elon Musk is tweeting now in support of Trump's positions in LA. Right. So Elon Musk is not attacking Trump anymore. That seems to have gone away. Again, I'm not sure. We were talking over the weekend with somebody, was it, sophisticated chess or was it for real? And who knows that? But again, it's like that's out of the headlines now. LA is in the headlines. And also the one lawsuit that there were these two, Blake Lively and somebody else, suing each other over things. I never really could. First of all, I never really knew who they were, and I never could follow it. But one of their lawsuits got dropped, and that's dominating the news. So much for Elon
Who got
Musk.
who
I
that
don't
guy
know. Like
is?
I said, the Elon Musk Trump feud has been bumped out of the headlines and the tabloids by the weird Hollywood lawsuits being dumped. So that's it. So all right, but anything else or?
No, we'll give you the breaking news as it comes in.
As it comes in, I don't think we have time this week, but next week or next week, Wednesday, I want to talk a little bit about once again, the city of Denver furloughing employees. Their costs are up, their revenues are down. No idea why, but we'll tell them why on Wednesday.
And
It's pretty.
you quoted to me, but apparently in Denver Post, Johnson said, "Well, homelessness, that's all I ran on. That's me,
That's
Mr.
why I
Homeless.
became mayor. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't care about, I don't give a shit about anything else.
And
I just
that's
care,
why Denver is sucking. Because maybe if you had a mayor who said, I became mayor to try to help the business community to make Denver a family-friendly, business-friendly place to live and thrive. I don't know, maybe we'd have a different, but when he says my main priority is homelessness and illegal immigrants, it's kind of like, so we'll see what
For
happens,
all the
darling.
rest of you schmucks living in those stupid little houses and apartments, so you go yourselves,
Too bad for
because
you. Now you're not
I
going
was
to have any perks.
elected on by the homeless. And, what's amazing about that is, they didn't have anything on the homeless until the 1990s. I mean, there was no budget item, and now it's nothing but, we don't care.
Tens of
Just
millions of dollars. Tens of
yeah,
millions
just
of dollars.
everything, all we
And
care
they're not going to
about.
cut that. They're cutting police department. They're cutting the
Yeah,
police
get rid of those
department
stupid
budget.
cops. Yeah.
Well, I know because all they do is harass the homeless.
That's right.
So.
And the newcomers.
And the newcomers, the homeless and the newcomers. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. On Wednesday, we're going to have Hope, as I said, who announced she's going to run for Congress against Jeff Herd. And on Monday, we're going to have Brian Dunedep. He has a great column up, if you look at it, in American Thinker, talking about long COVID and that there is an increasing evidence that long COVID really is just caused by the vaccine. So your government at work for you there.
All right.
Anyway, that'll do it for us. Thank you, everybody on Zoom. We will see you all on Wednesday.
Take care.